China is a deadly, dangerous menace. And I think I saw that menace, and it scared me.
Yeah, you were at Tiananmen Square.
I was there on the night of the massacre. Now,
did you see the tanks, Gordon, go right over
did,
people?
Yeah, I did. Oh. I was going to tell you about that. What had happened is this: I'd been there in the run-up to June, of course, of the event, and I'd been going to briefings at the American Embassy. And towards the end, in the last days, they were showing us, the Americans were showing us, the embassy staff were showing us satellite photographs of the many armies surrounding Beijing, and it was clear that this was a ring of steel around the city, and it was clear from what they were telling us that we could expect action. And I remember saying to the press attaché, nice young man at the embassy, well, shouldn't you be telling the students to get the hell out of the square?
And get out now?
And get out now. And he looked at me blankly. He said, Mr. Thomas, that's not our job. We're not here to do that. We're here to promote American business interests. And I, of course, Henry Kissinger associates were there. George Bush's brother was there, was there promoting business. They were all there. There were so many American corporations. I list them all in Seeds of Fire. Just amazing. It looked like a wonderful bizarre market. You know, everybody was there pitching and selling.
I know his brother, William Bucky Bush, I think.
Right.
Yeah, because he lives in St. Louis.
Right. And the feeling was that these students, there's a bunch of kids getting in the way. Now, I went back to the students along with other reporters and said, look, Dan Rather was there. Kate Ady, who was a colleague of mine from the BBC, was there. And we went to this people like Worker actually and said to them, the leaders, look, you've got to get out. And they said, why? The Americans say it's okay. Nothing. They haven't said anything. And I said, but don't you realize the armies are here? But they said, but they are our armies. They are the people's armies. They will never attack us. Don't you understand? These are our people. They will never attack us. Well,
little did they know.
Then we waited. And that evening, I was on the square along with, it must be about a million people there, I guess, then. And we heard the distant gunfire. And we said, this is it. We said to the students, no, those are firecrackers. We always celebrate when things are going well. And then suddenly, I heard the rumble. And these tanks came up the avenue. There were eight abreast. Up they came towards the Forbidden City. Behind them were the soldiers. They were kneeling, and they started a fire down into hutongs, the alleys that lead off the main alley, and the tanks just rolled on. And I thought, what is going to happen here? Why aren't they running, these people? Well, I must admit, I didn't run. And I was standing with my translator between myself and Kate Ady of the BBC. And suddenly, my translator just fell. And I looked, and he had a bullet through his throat.
My gosh.
And I thought, time to take cover. So Katie and I turned and went to a corner of the square, which was, we thought, was fairly safe. And from that position, we watched the tanks come in. Tanks formed up squares, and they, inside the square, were a group of students. The tanks rolled towards each other, so they met with their fronts, touched each other. Then they pulled back, and the photographs are in the book. And you see these mangled children, and there were, you know, when you go on the tank tracks and you're stretched out, you become flat and thin, if I may put it like that.
And you had about, 700 dead?
Oh, no, 10,000.
10,000?
Yeah, we never know how many died in Tiananmen, but I remember...
See, they reported it as 700.
Well, that's the Chinese reporting, yeah. I watched the helicopters all that morning, Sunday morning, flying out, picking up huge nets full of bodies and taking them to the Western Hills, and soon... The smell of cremating bodies permeated the whole city, came drifting away, and it was terrible. It was really to me, it was a shattering experience. And in a funny way, you know, it changed my whole life. I thought, I really can't do this anymore. I've seen enough horror now. This is too much. This is what really seared into my soul. And I went off up the Yangtze, and when I, for a trip to get away from it after the thing, the massacre was over, most of the correspondents pulled out, but I thought I'd stay in China because I wanted to. Thought I might do the book. I took me years to do the book in the end. But along the way, when I got back, I got a call from Fox Studios saying they'd heard I'd been there. They'd love to do a story, you know, a film script, which I do as well for a living, write movies. And I said, okay. So they flew me to Hollywood. And this was a very interesting meeting. I sat down and explained what I'd seen and done, and they're looking at me askance. And they said, you know, the movie we had in mind didn't have too many Chinese in it. I said, I'm sorry, this is all about Chinese men and women. Yeah, we'd really prefer to have just a few Americans and use the Chinese in the background. I said, I don't want to write that sort of movie. I realized later, of course, that Mr. Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch, was already having his eyes set on business in China. He actually was to buy up, as you know, major television interest in Hong Kong and so on, and he's moving into China. So I suddenly came across that this was my personal experience of big business. You can write a story about what you saw. You must write the story we want, and nothing to upset the Chinese regime. And it was that made me write the book I finally wrote, because I wanted to set Tiananmen Square in the context of what had happened